A title appears, released by the International Picture Show Company. Clusters of ripe indigo-hued grapes hang on vines among green and autumn-hued leaves. The vineyard stretches into the distance. Rolling hills line the horizon. More titles appear over a charming two-story farmhouse beyond the rows of grapevines. Jack Rather presents. A collie trots out onto the farmhouse porch, followed by an elderly man and a boy. Wearing cowboy boots and blue jeans, they continue into the yard. The magic of Lassie. The collie bounds off after them, starring Mickey Rooney, Pernell Roberts, Stephanie Zimbalist. At a farm gate, Lassie tugs at the looped end of a hanging rope and pulls the gate open. Michael Charette, Alice Faye, Gene Evans, James Stewart as Clovis Mitchell. The elderly man drives through the gate in an open utility vehicle with a young brunette beside him. The boy rides in the back seat. They wait as Lassie pulls the gate closed. Co-starring Mike Mazurki, Robert Lussier, Lane Davies. Lassie hops up onto the rear bed, then takes a seat in the front next to the elderly man as they head off down a dirt road. The man drives through the vineyard, then turns onto a winding paved road.
Oh, golly gee, I love that hometown feeling. You never have to lock your door. So neighborly, that homey hometown feeling. You hear the local news at the grocery store. And in the park, the Legion band will play on lazy afternoon. You take a stroll down to the heart of town.
They wave to a neighbor.
And at the corner barber, you meet the guys, philosophize. And gee, I love that hometown feeling like it was way back when. I'll tell you what this whole world needs. More nickel cigars, no faster speed. This whole world needs that hometown feeling again.
Lassie licks the man's cheek and he smiles. A car speeds around them and he points.
Did you see that?
Titles continue, introducing the Mike Curb Congregation. Music and lyrics by Richard M. Sherman and Robert B. Sherman. They continue past houses and cross a small bridge. Music supervised, arranged, and conducted by Irwin Coastal.
Oh, golly gee, I love that hometown feeling. People always say hello, but it's so neighborly. That homey hometown feeling. People know your first name wherever you go.
Hiya, Lassie.
Lassie jumps out to greet some friends. Film editor John C. Horger, art director George Trost.
On summer days, you sit on your front porch, and friends are sure to call. It's kind of grand to know just where you stand. No one's a wheeler dealer, but neighbors share, and people care.
Director of photography, Michael Margolies. Story by Robert B. Sherman and Richard M. Sherman. Screenplay by Gene Holloway, Robert B. Sherman, and Richard M. Sherman.
I'll tell you what this whole world needs. More nickel cigars.
Clovis, you're driving over 30 miles an hour.
Yes, no faster speed. This whole world needs that hometown feeling again.
Produced by Benita Granville Rather. William Bodine Jr. Directed by Don Chaffee. They park at a small market.
All right, now, don't be too long.
They all get out and head in different directions. Lassie races across the bridge, then continues through the town. The collie stops in front of a storefront with a door marked Alan Fogarty, Attorney at Law. The door opens, and a man in a suit steps out.
Hi, Lassie, where's the family?
Lassie grabs Alan's hand with her mouth and leads him down the sidewalk to a store. A few shoppers exit as they arrive.
Oh, Charlie, look at what Lassie's doing.
Alan!
Here, let me take that.
What a surprise. We thought you were in Sonoma on a case. Imagine bumping into you like this.
Oh, just a minute, Grandma.
As they approach the utility vehicle, the little boy peeks out of a store.
You right there, Grandpa?
The old man looks around, then spots Lassie, Alan, and the young brunette approaching.
I hate to interrupt anything important, but we've been away from the grapes too long.
Back at the vineyard, the young brunette drives a tractor pulling a trailer piled with crates of grapes. As workers pick grapes in the rows of vines, the little boy follows the trailer with Lassie. The collie wears a harness and pulls a tiny two-wheeled wagon carrying more grapes. Wearing denim overalls, the woman chews on a piece of straw as she steers the tractor. As she pulls up to a barn, her grandpa watches the tractor from a grape crusher.
Hey, Kelly, that rig breaks down, we'll be in big trouble.
Grandpa, don't worry so. You've already crushed the reds, and we've got a great start on the whites.
Anybody wouldn't worry in a day like this, a darn fool.
Lassie and the boy walk up.
Grandpa!
The old man grins as he spots the little wagon.
Hi, Chris, you and Lassie have been doing a fine job. I sure appreciate it, but Lassie looks a little tired, so... why don't we unhook her and you go out and play for a while?
Oh, I'm not tired. But if you think Lassie is, okay. Come on, Lassie. Let's play follow the lead.
The old man smiles fondly. In the vineyard, Chris crawls on his hands and knees through the dirt as Lassie follows, scooting along behind him. Nearby, two suited middle-aged men walk through the vines.
No, I haven't been here since... 3 years ago when I moved to Colorado Springs. But I can never forget this place. I mean, it is the perfect spot to plant Cabernet.
You're serious, then, about becoming a vintner?
Winemaker. Think you and I'd be here if I wasn't? Come here.
Lassie watches as they stop.
You know what these are?
Grapes.
Dollars. Since all of this borders on the property I already own, I can add these 200 acres, balance my crop with reds.
Is Mitchell willing to sell?
He will be, because I'll pay his price.
I see.
This is not the time to talk to him. They're crushing now. We'll come back tonight.
Chris holds Lassie as the two men walk off. Later in the winery, Mitchell staples labels on barrels.
If it can wait, don't interrupt me.
A door slides open, revealing the two suited men. They peek in, then step inside as Clovis looks over with an annoyed scowl.
Mr. Mitchell, Clovis, wasn't it?
Still is, Mr. Jameson.
This is my associate, Roger Finch.
How do you do?
As they shake hands, Lassie trots over to a set of stairs outside, then heads up. Going inside, Lassie trots along an upper walkway and looks down at the men.
Thank you. Don't mind if I do.
Here's to your health.
Cheers.
Standing among the enormous barrels below, the three men sip wine.
Very well made. Wouldn't you say so, Finch?
Well made wine.
Well, I know you're busy, so I'll get right to the point. I would like to buy this property.
Not for sale.
Well, I'm prepared to make you a very handsome offer.
Well, this property is not for sale at any price. I don't want to be inhospitable, but I harvested today and I'm busy.
Oh, I appreciate that, but I won't take more than a minute of your time. Mr. Mitchell, now, please don't take offense to what I'm about to say, but... well, you are getting on in years, and I happen to know that you have some notes due, and... well, I'd be more than happy to pay off your notes and give you $500,000 for your holdings.
What, are you... found out something? What, is there oil under here?
No, I'm pretty sure there isn't, but I want to grow Cabernet, and... well, this is an ideal spot for it.
Oh, it's perfect. The soil's perfect. It is loam and clay mix.
Suppose I was to go higher than $500,000.
It wouldn't make any difference where you went. You're wasting your time.
I'm not a man that takes no for an answer.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to this time.
Jameson and Finch trade a look.
Well, thank you for talking to us. Sorry you don't see things my way, but perhaps another time.
Chris walks in.
Lassie?
Jameson spots Lassie.
Well, what have we here? A beautiful collie. What one of the most beautiful I've ever seen.
Well, she's not for sale either.
Jameson joins Chris at the foot of the indoor stairs.
Hello, son.
He looks up at Lassie on the upper landing, then taps his leg.
Come on. Roar. Come on. Come on.
Lassie hesitates, then makes her way down the stairs. At the bottom, Jameson smiles and rubs her fur.
I had a dog like this once. Greatest thing in the world. Hey, now what's all that growling about? I'm not going to hurt you.
Lassie saw you walking across her property today. She didn't like it.
Jameson touches Lassie's ear and frowns at it.
My dog wouldn't have liked it either. Finch and I were just admiring your fields today.
In case you change your mind, you can reach Mr. Jameson at this number in Colorado Springs. Good night.
Good night.
Nice to meet you, Mr.
Chris and Lassie watch as Jameson pauses to shake his grandpa's hand.
Good night.
The businessmen leave.
Why doesn't Lassie like him?
Well, he's not very likable.
Chris, I'm going to be down here for a while yet.
Is that yeast? Mixtures, makeup, and that Tina water press. I guess you better go to bed.
Chris starts to head off with Lassie.
No, wait a minute. Sit down here, Chris. I want you to have a special feeling about our land.
Yes, Grandpa.
You know, your great-great-grandfather brought our first vines from Europe and planted them on our hills with his own hands. And then when the time came for him to go, he asked to be buried in sight of those hills.
You hear the gates on the far side? My daddy and mommy sleep?
That's where your daddy and your mommy sleep. You see, land like this is given in trust and with great love from father to son. And I know it's hard for you to understand it now, but it's very important for you to know.
Yes, Grandpa.
Good night, grandson.
Good night.
Good night.
Clovis Mitchell hugs his grandson. The boy walks to the door with Lassie.
Good night, Lassie.
Clovis regards Lassie fondly as she passes. Later, inside the house, Lassie pushes open the door to a bedroom as Clovis sleeps. She tugs on his quilt and lays it over his exposed feet, then licks Clovis's hand as he stirs in his sleep. Lassie enters another bedroom and closes the door. She lies down on a small rug by the side of the bed. Chris's arm dangles off the side of the bed, and he pets her in his sleep. Now a portrait shows a younger Jameson sitting with a collie.
The resemblance is uncanny.
You see it too, do you?
Of course, all collies look more or less alike.
Not that one. She took best of show, best of breed at Madison Square Garden 3 years in a row. She was international champion. She was also the best friend I ever had. And she was the only girl I ever loved that didn't leave me or divorce me. And she never growled at me. I envy them, that dog.
He sips a drink.
Strange.
What?
Well, you can buy and sell almost anyone I can think of. Yet you want that old man's land and even his dog. Why? Because he said no to you?
No. Just so happens he has a wonderful piece of land and a great dog.
You might find a way to get his land, but you'll never get his dog.
Jameson shoots Finch a look. At the vineyard, Clovis pets Lassie. Kelly and Chris run over and dash off playfully with the collie.
Reach for brass rings and daydreams, loving cups and rainbows. Life is for living, love for giving. Reach for brass rings and daydreams, loving cups and rainbows. open up your eyes and try to win a prize.
As Chris plays banjo, Lassie paws it's the strings. Chris catches a fish, and Lassie pushes it back in the water.
Daydreams, 'cause the moment that the sun beams, rainbows follow the rain.
Chris races through the grass with Lassie. A small jet plane soars through the clouds, then past the tall building as it approaches a rural landing strip. As the plane touches down, a chauffeur exits a parked black luxury vehicle waiting nearby. The plane slows to a stop, and the chauffeur opens the back door of the car. A pilot exits the plane's single door, then unfolds a step. Jameson steps out carrying a briefcase, then strolls over to the car. He gets in, and the chauffeur closes the door. At the winery, Clovis carries empty crates over to a pile as a worker hoses down others nearby. Jameson's luxury car pulls up and stops. The chauffeur gets out, then opens the back door for Jameson as Clovis looks over.
I haven't changed my mind about selling.
Well, I'm not here about the vineyards. My business is personal.
Oh?
I think it would be better if we talk privately.
Oh, all right. You keep on with the boxes, Lee. This will just take a couple of minutes. Come on, we'll go in the winery.
They enter the winery barn.
Well, how's your crush?
You said you had some personal business.
It's about your dog.
What about my dog?
Well, I think she's mine.
Now, you look here. I've tried to keep cool with you, but I've had just about as much as I can stand.
Now, hear me out. If I'm wrong, I apologize. If I'm right, it'll be easy enough to prove. I have the Kennel Club records right here.
Jameson coolly drops a leather-bound folder on the table. Frowning, Clovis picks it up and flips through it.
About 3 years ago, when I was still living here in California, my collie bitch, Lady Macduff, gave birth to a litter of pups, 6 to be exact. A few months later, she died.
What's that got to do with Lassie?
Well, 5 of those pups were sold. Well, there was a fire in our kennels one night, and during all the excitement, somebody left the gate open, and number 6 wandered out. She was only 5 1/2 weeks old, and I was lost, presumed dead. Now, I feel certain your dog was that puppy.
And how do you know?
If she's mine, there'll be a tattoo in the right ear. J31.
Clovis lowers his stricken gaze.
There's a tattoo.
His eyes flit to Jameson, then he nods and turns away.
There's a tattoo.
He walks over to a window and looks out.
I'm inspecting some trees I planted over near the highway, and I heard this crying. I got down my hands and knees, and under a bush in front of this little creatures, starved and drenched, sat up all night feeding her warm milk with an eyedropper. Chris was 6 and Kelly was over 17. It was just a couple of weeks after their mother and father, my son, killed in an automobile accident. I just can't tell you what saving that little puppy meant to them. It was kind of like life in the midst of death.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? That puppy had nothing to do with you. She's something that came from God. She needed us, and we needed her.
And now she's a part of all of our lives, but she isn't yours. I don't care what kind of a tattoo she has on her. She isn't yours. Mr. James. I'll give you every cent I have. But please don't take Lassie away from these children.
Clovis stares imploringly at Jameson, who shifts his gaze sternly.
Mr. Mitchell, if you force me, I will go to the police and get her legally.
He steps closer and coldly glares at Clovis.
Now get the dog.
Clovis meets his gaze and shakily wipes his eyes and nose. Grimacing, he walks back outside. Nearby, Chris walks with Lassie.
Lassie? Lassie?
Spotting Jameson, Lassie hesitates, then runs under the farmhouse porch. Chris follows and crawls in beside her.
What is it, Lassie?
Lassie?
Lassie, Grandpa wants you.
Lassie?
What's the matter with you, Lassie?
Chris, where are you? Chris?
Clovis glances around.
Chris, can you hear me?
The boy and dog stay hidden under the porch.
Chris, Lassie!
Kelly walks out.
Grandpa, what's wrong?
Well, where's Chris and Lassie?
Well, they were playing up above last time I noticed.
Why don't I come back about 7?
Is there anything I can say or do to get you to change your mind?
No. She's my property.
Who is?
Your grandfather will explain it to you.
As Jameson heads off, Clovis glances back sadly at Kelly, then watches as Jameson heads over to his waiting car. Several yards off, the chauffeur holds the door for Jameson as he gets into the back seat. Clovis turns to see Chris and Lassie crawl out from under the porch.
Why didn't you come when I called you?
You're way under the porch.
Chris, that's no excuse.
Hold on, just a minute here. I have to talk to you. Now come on over here.
They gather on the porch steps.
Come on, sit down, everybody.
Clovis paces thoughtfully in front of them, then looks over.
Now, I have something to tell you. I don't know how to do that unless I just come right out with it. Lassie isn't ours.
Why?
What do you mean?
Belongs to Mr. Jameson. You know that tattooed number in Lassie's ear we always wondered about?
J31. J for Jameson.
I'm afraid so. Jameson, he has his own tattoo numbers put on every animal he breeds.
Grandpa, are you sure he's telling the truth?
He showed me the kennel records.
Couldn't we buy her?
I offered him every cent I have in the bank.
Lassie hates him. She runs away every time she sees him. She'll die if he takes her.
Chris, please, Chris.
If she isn't going to be in this family anymore, I don't want to be.
As Chris rushes off, Lassie follows. Kelly walks sadly up the porch steps as Clovis turns away forlornly. Later, Chris lies in bed, his cheeks wet with tears.
Chris.
Kelly opens the door and looks in at her younger brother.
Chris, please come down and have dinner with us.
I can't. Swallow.
Sobbing, Chris buries his head in the pillow. Kelly looks on sadly, then leaves, closing the door behind her and revealing a photo of a younger Lassie taped to the door. Clovis sits at the table as Kelly walks over and takes his hand. Lassie watches as Kelly sits down and Clovis bows his head.
Oh, Lord, bless the food on this table and
Help us to see the wisdom in thy ways, which are mighty obscure at the present time. Amen.
Kelly unfolds her napkin. Reaching for food, Clovis pauses and looks off. Lassie affectionately licks his cheek. Clovis takes her head in his hands, and Kelly strokes her fur. Outside, the luxury car pulls to a stop. The chauffeur gets out and opens the door for Jameson. Jameson gets out and leans on the door. Inside the house, Clovis hugs Lassie. The collie runs from the table and up the stairs to Chris's closed bedroom door. She scratches frantically at the door. Chris sits up, tears streaming down his cheek. Clovis brings Lassie's collar and leash.
Remember tomorrow, we planned a big day. We go swimming and fishing, and oh, how we play. You're so strong, you'll get along, but how will I? Oh, Lassie, I can't say goodbye.
Lassie hesitates at the top of the stairs, but Clovis gently leads her down. Kelly watches sadly. Lassie sits and stares up at Kelly. Clovis looks on as Kelly helplessly works her mouth. As Clovis leads Lassie outside, Kelly watches wide-eyed. The dog balks and pulls away as they approach Jameson. In his room, Chris looks up from his pillow, then slowly gets up and goes to the window. He pulls aside the curtain and looks down. Outside, Jameson and his chauffeur force Lassie into the car.
Grab the leash. No, tighter.
There you go.
Jameson hands Clovis a check.
Check for your trouble.
Chris watches from the window as Clovis numbly takes the check, then closes the curtain. He runs to his bed and buries his head in his pillow tearfully. Outside, Clovis tears up the check and throws the pieces at the car. As Jameson's car drives off, Lassie stares at Clovis from the rear window. Clovis sadly watches her go and heaves a sigh. He drops his head and starts to walk back to the house. He pauses and turns to see the car's lights disappear around a bend, then continues on. Inside, Kelly stares sadly as she waits for Clovis to return. As he enters, he opens his arms and she rushes over to hug him.
I hate you, Grandpa. I'll hate you as long as I live.
Chris, you've got to understand that...
You sold my dog!
Oh, no, that's not true.
I saw you!
Chris glares from the top of the stairs, then goes back into his room. Inside, he grimaces as he heaves a breath. Downstairs, Clovis steps past Kelly.
What will I do?
He slowly walks up the stairs as Kelly looks on.
He didn't mean it, Grandpa. He's just a little boy.
Kelly slowly shifts her gaze. She heads into a living room where she turns off a lamp. She turns off another lamp. Upstairs, Chris lies in bed with one arm hanging down toward Lassie's empty spot.
You're ever so strong, you'll get along. But how will I? Oh, lassie, I can't say goodbye.
At Jameson's, Lassie lies on the pavement in front of the entry gate. A uniformed man in khakis walks over with a leash and clips it on Lassie's collar. He leads the collie back down the driveway to an elegant white mansion. Inside, as Jameson hits a ball with his cue at a pool table, the man descends a stairway with Lassie and enters.
Oh, thank you, Harry.
As Jameson takes her leash, Lassie stares at the portrait.
Well, my lady, there's your mother and all the trophies she won for me. And you're going to do the same for me. We're going to give you a better name than Lassie. All right. Here's your new collar. You better start getting used to it. And to me, because you're mine now.
On a sunny day outside on the lawn, Jameson putts a ball with a golf club. Looking off, he straightens. Nearby, Lassie spots a pigeon fluttering on a sculpture. As it takes flight, the collie follows. She sets off across the lawn, then trots down a stone walkway past neatly trimmed hedges. She heads up some steps, then turns a corner. The paved walkway is lined with more hedges. She looks over at a statue at one end of a narrow pool, then continues straight. Pauses at a stone path that veers through two tall hedges, then follows it. She runs down flagstone steps. At the bottom, she comes to the driveway. As she watches, the electronic gates swing closed. Lassie lingers, staring at them. Later in the house, Jameson talks on a landline phone.
Fine. Fine, it's a deal. Well, I got it.
You mean Mitchell's selling?
No. The other property. Now we begin the big squeeze on Mr. Mitchell. I also gave the dog a new kennel name. Heather Bell.
Lassie lays her head down. Now outside, Lassie watches as gardeners work along the tall hedges with a rolling set of stairs. Her gaze shifts to a high gap in the hedges further down. She turns to see Jameson holding out a bowl of food.
Property. Better keep your hands off of me. Nobody's property. Not me. Not me.
Lassie runs off. Jameson follows.
Nobody's property. I can't be bought and sold. Love has the only hold on me.
Reaching a swimming pool, she runs onto the diving board.
I'm gonna get free by and by. I'm gonna find my patch of the sky. And if I can't do that, at least I'm gonna try. Or learn the reason why. Don't say my chances are small.
Jameson inches out onto the board.
Don't say that I'm bound to fall.
She runs off, and Jameson falls into the water.
You're coming off of the wall at me. You see, I'm free.
She runs to the gardener's stairs, dashes up, then leaps over the hedge.
Free.
Jameson runs over and rushes up the stairs. At the top, he calls out.
Heather Bell! Heather Bell! Lassie!
What's up, sir?
Tell Jeff to warm up the chopper. Find her.
Find who?
Lassie, you dummy.
Now Lassie runs out of a drainage pipe and dashes along uneven ground as Harry rushes toward a waiting helicopter. As he gets in, Lassie races down a narrow dirt path. The helicopter takes off and lifts into the sky. Lassie spots it approaching overhead, then runs under a set of boulders. From the helicopter, Harry and Jeff the pilot scan the ground. As they search, the helicopter's shadow falls across a shallow, rocky valley below. Lassie stays hidden in her spot beneath the huge overhanging boulder. The helicopter speeds past, and Lassie runs back out. It banks around, then Harry spots Lassie below.
There she is!
He motions to Jeff and points. As Lassie races onward, they follow her, then swoop low and hover over the dog. The whirling blades kick up dust and dirt with the wind. Lassie runs back and forth as the helicopter hovers overhead. A ladder lowers from the side and Harry makes his way down to the ground on the long column of hanging rungs. Lassie watches him from below. As Harry reaches the ground, Lassie rushes over and jumps on him, knocking him down.
Hey, get up!
As he rolls in the dirt, Lassie runs off. She squeezes between two boulders, then pauses to look up at the helicopter as it flies off. She continues on, racing on through the wilderness. Back at the farmhouse, Chris dozes at a picnic table, his banjo before him. He raises his head. A ghostly image appears, showing Lassie running through the wilderness. Lassie tumbles over a steep slope, rolling over as she falls. Chris gapes, lays his head back down groggily. In his mansion, Jameson paces as he talks with Finch.
I'm offering $2,000 reward because I want fast action. As soon as the posters are ready, distribute them to every sheriff's office and police station you can. Tell them we spotted her in Zion Park heading west.
Right.
Now get this right into Denver and pay whatever's necessary to rush the posters out. Now, I've written a description of the dog, including the tattoo number and the ear in the back. And leave the office phone number and your home number. And tell them to put that part about the green leather collar in big type.
Wouldn't it be better to give them your home number?
No, I don't want a lot of cranks calling here. You get an authentic call, then get in touch with me.
Mrs. Finch and I were taking our children to Central City this weekend for the celebration.
And I was going to Saudi Arabia, so I guess we'll both have to change our plans.
Yes, Mr. Jameson.
Now Lassie limps slowly down a desert road. As a car approaches, she sits and raises one paw, then sits up on her hind legs and begs as the car gets closer. The station wagon drives on without stopping. Lassie resumes limping down the road. Later, an old van approaches. It sputters to a stop, and the passenger, a stout white-haired man, looks back at Lassie. The driver looks out from behind his shoulder as Lassie sits with her paw up. The stout man looks up and down the road, then back at Lassie. He steps out and walks over.
Hey, what's the matter? You lost a friend, huh, maybe? Huh?
Lassie holds up her dirty and wounded paw. The man pats it.
You stopped the right car because I'm a pro. My client in there, he's got strains and sprains and backaches and bruises. You know how wrestlers are. Got something in there to fix you up right away. And don't move. Stay right there. Albert! I need you out here for a couple of minutes, please.
As the stout man goes to the rear of the van, the driver walks over.
What's wrong with the little fella?
Oh, tore a couple of ligaments, maybe.
Oh, it's nothing. They heal in no time. Yeah. Hey, she's pretty. She sure could use a bath and brushing. Yeah. Hey, Gussie?
One thing at a time. First things first, huh? Here, now. That's careful with it there. me just put a little of this here.
Gus gently dabs liquid on Lassie's paw.
Hey, what's that for?
It's for cuts and bruises. Help it heal quicker.
Hey, that's neat. I bet you could have been a vet.
What would you have done without me?
Not very good.
Gus bandages the paw.
Once more around. And there we go. Let me give her one of these things. Now hold it steady.
He puts a pill in Lassie's mouth.
Hey, what's that?
A little aspirin for pain.
Hey, you think of everything. You're really locked in, kid. Hey, what are we going to do with her?
Why don't you look at her identification tag there and see who she belongs to?
Albert checks Lassie for a collar.
Anything?
Nothing.
Nothing?
What is she doing out here alone?
I don't know. Maybe she jumped out of a car or something. I bet some little kid's crying about now over her.
Well, he sure ain't around.
Put her in the van.
You're in, kid. Come on.
Careful
with
the leg. Careful with the leg.
Easy.
That's right.
Easy.
Easy. He'll fix it right up.
Now Gus sings with his banjo as Lassie rides with the men through a desert canyon.
Strange lands, distant highways, lonely, hidden byways. Sometimes they can be a grind. When your eyes go bleary, 'cause that road's so dreary, here's a way to cheer your weary mind. A little traveling music makes the miles roll by. Traveling music makes the hours fly. Traveling music makes your spirits high. Check your thermometer, watch that speedometer. Traveling music makes you move right along. Flying down the highway on the wings of song. But under the mountains or over the phone, happiest music you'll ever have known is when you're traveling straight as a javelin. Travel, level, leveling home.
Trying to give me a bad notice?
A little traveling music makes you move right along. Flying down the highway on the wings of song. But under the mountains or over the phone, the happiest music you'll ever have known is when you're traveling straight as a javelin. Travel, level, leveling, travel, level, leveling, while the road's unraveling.
Now Gus drives while his friend jogs by the van with Lassie.
We ought to make town before evening.
Do we have to?
We got an almost guarantee tomorrow night.
Gus! Does it ever occur to you I'm never going to be a champion?
No. No, you're going to make it 1 year, and when you do, you're going to be great.
I ain't getting any younger. I ain't getting any younger, Gus.
Well, nobody else is either. Look, you're what they call a slow ripener. But when you make it, you're going to be great.
It's nice of you to say so, Gus. It's nice of you to say so. But I don't have any class.
You go ahead and get yourself class. You're going to blow the act. You're going to blow the whole thing.
You know what class is, Gus? She's class.
Gus stops the van. It continues rolling.
Are you trying to tell me you want to be a collie?
Gus pulls the handbrake.
You trying to tell me that you want to be a collie dog?
Maybe I do. You've been great to me. I sure would like for you to have a winner, Gus.
At the farmhouse.
Sis, do you suppose Lassie misses us as much as we miss her?
She probably misses us even more, Chris. After all, we have each other. Now put your things away. It's time for your bath.
I took a bath this morning.
Well, I want you to be spick and span for your first day at school.
Okay.
Now back, teeth, and to bed.
At a campsite, Gus pours water over Lassie's silky coat.
Right, come on,
he leads her to a makeshift
bed. You're not only going to feel great when Gus gets through with you, you're going to be an absolute knockout.
Lassie shakes out her coat.
She hates me already.
No one likes soap and water. It ain't natural. I've been thinking about a name for her. How about Violet?
No, not Violet.
I knew a great Violet once.
I knew a Bombolina once, too, but we're not going to call her that either.
Well, we've got to call her something.
Gus stares thoughtfully as he towels Lassie off.
How about calling her Lady?
Lady. That's great. I like that.
Lady, I don't know where you've been or where you're going, but it sure has been a pleasure knowing you.
She licks his face with Jameson.
I thought it about time. I let you know that Lassie's missing.
Lassie's missing?
Chris gets up and listens at the banister as Clovis talks on the phone.
You mean she ran away? Well, of course I'll let you know if she shows up here. Now, Colorado's a good piece off.
Unnoticed, Chris heads back into his bedroom.
Yes, I understand. Goodbye.
He closes the door behind him. He walks across the room to a dresser and picks up a small bank. He quietly sets it down, then turns a small lever, opens the side, and tilts it. As coins and bills fall out, he checks over his shoulder. At a wrestling ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event is a wrestling match featuring Divine Emmanuel, the masked brawler from Mexico City.
A masked wrestler, Mighty Emmanuel, walks down an aisle to the ring, followed by his trainer. As Apollo, Elbert Albert pats on a curly platinum wig and smiles at Lassie. He heads to the ring with Lassie and Gus. As Apollo climbs into the ring, Manuel jabs him with his elbow. While the referee separates them, Gus calms Lassie.
Huh? Huh? Lady, easy, easy. He's a friend of ours from Cincinnati. Come on.
Yeah. One of three falls and may the best man win.
As the two aging wrestlers face each other from their corners, Apollo gives Lassie a thumbs up. They move to the center of the ring and grapple. Apollo grabs Manuel's neck and twists it with his hands. Manuel grimaces, then slams Apollo to the mat. Bouncing back against the ropes, Manuel takes a flying leap at Apollo, who rolls aside just before he lands. Apollo grins and gives Lassie and Gus another thumbs up. He gets back to his feet, then grabs Manuel again by the neck. Manuel lifts Apollo onto his shoulders and spins him around. As Apollo spins on Manuel's shoulders, Lassie follows with her gaze. Manuel stops, then hurls Apollo over the ropes and grimaces. Apollo lands in front of the seated crowd in a pile of popcorn and candy wrappers. Apollo climbs back up the ropes, then into the ring. The two wrestlers grapple again, holding each other's necks.
Easy, lady, easy.
Manuel feigns pounding Apollo against the mat.
Hey, Apollo! What's with that dog? Does she bite? She's a pussycat! She doesn't know how to bite!
Lassie rushes at Manuel. He turns to see Lassie holding a square of his freshly ripped shorts in her mouth.
We're sorry. Come on, lady.
Gus grabs Lassie as the angered crowd throws trash into the ring. Lassie trots off down the aisle with the satin fabric in her mouth. Apollo scrambles free of the crowd and follows with Gus on his heels. Later at their campsite, a lantern shines on their sleeping forms in side-by-side sleeping bags. Lassie sleeps between them. At the farmhouse, Chris turns in his sleep.
Lassie. Lassie.
Lassie. Lassie's ears Lassie. Pick up. Lassie scoots forward. She runs out, then looks back at the kindly men as they sleep. She returns and licks their faces. She turns and runs off. Near the farmhouse, Clovis watches as Chris boards a school bus. Chris turns back to look at Kelly as the doors close behind him. Sitting on a quaint covered bench, his older sister gets to her feet and takes a few steps forward. As the bus pulls off, Clovis walks over to join Kelly.
He wouldn't even look at me.
He'll get over it, Grandpa.
I'm not so sure he will.
The two walk arm in arm up the dirt driveway. Later, the bus rounds a corner and stops in front of a school. The doors open and children pile out with books, folders, and lunches. As the line of children heads toward the school entrance, Chris hangs back. Shifting anxiously on his feet, he looks over at the school. His brow furrows as he waits. As the bus drives off, he stares down at the curb, then crosses the street and heads away from the school. In the desert canyon, Lassie runs down a winding road. The road snakes around rocky hills dotted with dry brush that stretch far into the horizon. In the distance, steep cliffs reach high into the clouds, looming over the expansive canyon. Now a policeman pins a reward poster with a photo of Lassie that reads $2,000. On a road, Chris looks out from the passenger seat of an empty car as it travels on the lower level of a car carrier. The carrier continues down the road, passing the policeman as he gets into a car reading Sheriff. The carrier drives on as the sheriff's car turns down another street. At the winery, Kelly puts labels on bottles as Clovis packs finished bottles in a case. Kelly looks up as the school bus approaches. It continues down the road without stopping. She stares off with a slight frown.
The bus didn't stop.
Hmm?
The bus didn't stop. Chris didn't come home from school.
It's a bleak day.
He didn't say anything about it this morning. I'm gonna call the school.
You know, Chris has been late before, dear.
He always tells us when he's going to be.
Well, today he forgot.
Hello, Mr. Byington. This is Kelly Mitchell. Listen, did Chris stay for league practice this afternoon? What? Thank you. Chris wasn't at school all day today. I'm going to Glen Ellen to look for him.
I'll take you. Lee, you finish up here, will you?
Okay, sure.
Clovis and Kelly head out. In the desert, Lassie makes her way down a rocky ridge to a stream and drinks from the shallow, rippling water. She finishes, then crosses the water and heads on. In town, Kelly and Alan run to join Clovis as he talks with the sheriff.
I was just saying to Clovis that every kid plays truant sometime.
Chris doesn't.
There's always a first time. He
You folks go on home. I'll bet he'll be there waiting for you.
Frank, are you refusing to help me?
Of course not, Clovis. But if he's not home by tonight, you give us a ring. We'll go to work on it.
With a worried gaze, Clovis turns back to his car, walks over, and gets in.
Where are you going, Grandpa?
I'm going after Chris. Now, you take care of things at home and stay near a phone. I'll call you later on from someplace in the direction of Colorado.
Colorado?
As Kelly stares after him, Clovis speeds off. In the desert, twilight falls over the rocky landscape as Lassie makes her way around a large boulder. She hops up onto the boulder and stares off across the canyon landscape. Back in town, the local sheriff talks into a radio microphone at his desk.
This is Sheriff Andrews. Attention all units to a critical missing. Christopher Mitchell, male Caucasian, 10 years old, light brown hair, blue eyes, 4 feet 2 inches tall, weighs about 70 pounds. Last seen wearing a blue plaid shirt, blue corduroy pants, and a red windbreaker.
On the road, the car carrier travels across a bridge. Chris scans the passing landscape from his seat. Not far behind, Clovis's station wagon travels across the same bridge. In the farmhouse, Kelly talks with Alan.
This was always such a happy house. It feels so cold now.
They'll be all right. Don't lose faith in your grandpa.
Oh, I haven't. It's just very big and empty out there. Chris is such a little boy, and Lassie isn't used to being alone.
Kelly, if it's any consolation, that story Jameson gave your grandfather about a fire in the kennels, the fire department has no record of it.
Well, maybe they put it out themselves.
I'm sure that's what Jameson will say. But I'm going to check out anybody that had anything to do with that litter.
You're very kind to us, Alan.
Kelly and Alan walk out onto the softly lit porch. As he gazes off, Kelly turns and looks up at him sweetly.
Moon, you're working overtime on me tonight. There's a busy perfume on the breeze. I wish you'd stop your beaming.
Alan shyly steps away.
Time for dreaming. There'll be other Friday nights. There'll be other Friday nights.
Kelly watches as Alan gets in his car and drives off.
Save your misty magic for another time. Can't you see you're wasting it on me? Oh, moon, show me some pity. Stop making it so pretty. There'll be other Friday nights.
He backs up the car, runs over to the porch, and kisses Kelly.
It feels so wrong to not belong to someone tonight.
They share a loving gaze, then walk back to his car.
Have a heart with my heart till the time is right. Staying on the shelf is not an easy game.
He gets back in his car.
Knowing that you're glowing there in vain. Oh, moon, there's no use trying. Tonight you've got me crying. But there'll be other Friday nights, you'll see. There'll be other Friday nights for me. There'll be other Friday nights.
As he drives off, Kelly returns to the porch and gazes after him. Now the car carrier pulls into a large lot full of cargo trucks. As it parks, Chris sits up in the seat of his car, then rubs his eye as he looks around. The driver gets out. Chris opens the car door and walks out into the lot. He watches as the driver heads to a low building, then looks up and sees a flashing neon sign reading, Boomtown Stage Stop. Chris walks on. Clovis pulls into the same lot and parks his station wagon. He gets out and looks up at the neon sign. He does a double take, mouths Boomtown, and shifts his wide-eyed gaze. Inside, Chris walks through a crowded casino. Looking around wide-eyed, he takes in the bustling scene full of slot machines and game tables. Now Clovis unlocks the door to a motel room, then walks in and shuts the door. He lowers himself wearily onto a bed, then picks up a nearby phone and punches in a number. The aging winemaker puts the receiver back on the cradle, swings his feet up, and lies down on the bed. On a sunny day, Lassie sits in a speedboat pulled on a trailer by a truck. Wind billows her silky fur as she rides. As the boat passes a motorcycle cop, he turns to look at a reward poster on a nearby post. He takes off down the road after them. The driver and two children look out from the truck's windows as the cop pulls up behind them. The driver pulls to the side of the road, and the cop walks over.
Officer, I wasn't exceeding the speed limit.
I know you weren't, sir. I just wanted to ask you about that collie in your boat.
What collie in the boat?
Come on, I'll show you.
As they walk back to the boat, Lassie jumps out over the cop's shoulders. Trying to catch her, he falls. She bounds over a fence and runs off into a field as the cop mounts his motorcycle and sets off after her. He smashes through the fence and speeds into the field. Lassie races on with the cop behind her. At a fork in the road, Lassie takes the right fork. The cop veers to the left side and then swerves around as he catches sight of the running dog. Lassie races across a rickety footbridge, and the motorcycle follows. The cop's motorcycle jumps from a boulder as Lassie watches. It touches down safely, and Lassie sets off again. As the cop maneuvers down a dusty curve, Lassie runs on ahead and ducks into the brush. The cop skids to a stop as he spots Lassie running past a barn, then speeds down a path towards the building. Lassie runs into the old barn, and the cop rides in after her.
Oh, no!
Lassie races out and the cop follows, his motorcycle covered in paper and debris. Up ahead, Lassie runs around a log in front of a mud hole, but the cop heads straight for it, flipping off of his bike and into the mud. At a restaurant in the Boomtown Stage Stop.
So long. See you next week, darling.
Bye, Ed. Have a safe trip. Watch out for Smokey.
You bet.
Hey, Ed, punch number 37 for me on the way out.
Sure thing, Alice.
The waitress frowns.
And Ed, thanks for the quarter.
Chris sleeps on a chair.
Come on, wake up. Wake up. Come on, wake up.
He opens his eyes to see a little girl.
Come on, wake up. Wake up. Come on.
He sits up in the seat of a carriage on display in the casino, then climbs out.
Oh, a rose is not a rose.
goes without those scratchy thorns, those catchy thorns, those scratchy, catchy thorns. A fact of life with
Chris looks up at the restaurant sign, which reads, Drovers Inn, Drivers Only. As he walks in, he meets a driver on his way out. Without the
thorns. Mister? Are you going to Colorado Springs?
No, Sonny. I'm on my way to Longview, Texas. Sorry.
Chris checks his pocket, then goes to Alice at the counter.
Well, what can I do for you?
Can I get anything for 50 cents?
Is that all you have?
No, ma'am. But I've a long way to go.
Well, you're in luck. We have a special today. How do you like your eggs?
Sunny side up.
You got 'em.
She places the order on the counter for the cook, then pours a beverage for Chris.
Live in Colorado Springs?
No, ma'am.
You have relatives there?
Mm-mm.
Too young to be out on your own?
I'm small for my age, they tell me.
Every single thing that grows has its good points. And it's bad.
She serves his meal.
When a lovely rose is there, better handle it with care. For in all that's good,
problems, huh? You want to tell me about them? I'm a real good listener.
Thanks, anyway.
You know, when I'm down in the dumps, this song always gives me a lift. Love that cat bone.
Scratchy thorns, those catchy thorns, those catchy, catchy thorns.
You cook almost as good as my sister does.
No kid. Where does your sister live?
In Glendale, California.
She nods casually, then goes to a counter and piles cheese, meat, tomatoes, and lettuce on bread for a sandwich.
Though the sun is shining bright, there'll be darkness through the night. There's misfortune and good luck. How you fare is up to you, so take care in what you do, and beware the thorn that's there to get you stuck. Good luck, and try to not get stuck.
Here, on the house.
She presents a bag.
Thanks.
Chris hands her his change.
Does your sister know where you're going?
Outside, Chris carries his bag of food over to the line of parked trucks.
Is a rose is not a rose is not a rose without the thorn.
He walks along the long row of big rigs. As he approaches, he checks the license plates. One reads Saskatchewan. He shakes his head and moves on. Tags on another read Alberta, British Columbia, and Manitoba. As he continues on, another truck pulls out just behind him.
Hey, watch out, you're gonna get yourself killed.
He keeps walking, scanning more license plates. Another truck driver calls to him as he pulls out.
Out of the way of the trucks, we can't see you down there.
Chris stops in front of another truck. The three plates read Wisconsin, Mississippi, and Colorado. As he smiles, another truck heads right for him.
Hey, Bill, what's the kid? Ah!
The truck knocks him down, and the driver leans forward in his seat, wide-eyed. Chris stands and runs off. The driver gets out and chases him.
Hey, kid, wait a minute! I told you to hold up, and I mean it!
Chris runs between two trucks.
Hold it! Kid, I told you to wait!
Chris cuts under the trucks, and the driver scrambles after him. Chris runs back out and scurries around another idling truck as a long-haired driver watches him run past. The long-haired driver gets out and joins the chase. Chris runs into the first driver, then turns around. Several more join the chase. As a little dog watches from a truck, Chris races past. He turns as he spots a driver, then dodges another truck.
Hey, you come back!
His bag swinging in his hand, Chris runs between more trucks.
I told you to stop!
The first driver stops a big rig as he passes. As the drivers chase him, Chris climbs up onto the back of an empty cattle truck. As the first driver runs up, he spots Chris climbing inside the fenced-in bed as the truck pulls out. Chris huddles low behind wood planks at the base. Gazing after him, the first driver grimaces and shakes his head angrily. In the truck bed, Chris scoots into the shadows. The departing truck passes a sign that reads, "Thanks for stopping at Boomtown." In the winery, Kelly answers the phone.
Hello?
Kelly?
Hello, Grandpa. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I'm in a place called Boomtown.
Where?
Boom. Boom. Boom as in tarara boom dee. And that's a terrible joke. What's happened, Kelly?
Well, Alan asked Sheriff Andrews to get out an all-points bulletin. And I'm checking temperatures now. And everything's under control.
Fine, all right. Now you stay right there, will you, dear?
All right, Grandpa, I'll be here. And Grandpa, please take care of yourself.
I will. Goodbye.
Bye.
Kelly hangs up. At the Boomtown stop, Clovis heads out of the parking lot in his station wagon. Driving past the long row of trucks, he continues on. In the restaurant, Alice watches a news broadcast.
The FBI has been called into the search for Christopher Mitchell, missing from his home in Glen Ellyn, California since yesterday morning. Grandson of Clovis Mitchell, owner of the Mitchell Winery, Christopher was last seen by his classmates on the school bus yesterday morning. Light brown hair, blue eyes, 10 years old, 4 feet 2 inches tall, and weighing about 70 pounds.
That little fellow was trying to get to Colorado Springs.
Well, if that was a kid, he caught a cattle truck going to Kitty, which is in the opposite direction.
Now Chris rides in the speeding cattle truck. Elsewhere, Lassie follows a train track.
When you're out there on your own, trying to make it all alone, 'cause you seek the missing pieces of your life. It's a rough and tumble journey on a road that never ends. It's a cold, cold world you're walking through, my friend. But when you're loved, when you're loved, you always walk in love's reflection.
She spots a parked train, then trots alongside the cars.
When you're loved, somehow you find the right direction.
She jumps in an open car.
This crazy jigsaw puzzle.
The train pulls away.
It's a beautiful scene, but I mean only when you're loved.
A police car follows Clovis across a bridge.
Yellow Ford station wagon, California number 301 PJC. Kindly pull over to your right when you're at the other side of the bridge.
Confounded policeman, why are you out chasing criminals?
Clovis slows to a stop at the end of the bridge, and the police car pulls up behind him. The officer gets out and walks over to Clovis.
I was not speeding.
You certainly weren't, Mr. Mitchell. Sheriff Andrews and Glen Ellyn asked us to flag you down and give you all possible assistance. We have news of your grandson.
What? Is he all right?
As far as we know, he is. Please, could you pull off the road and lock your car and come with me?
Later, Clovis rides with the officer as they approach a train crossing. Inside a car, Lassie lies down as the train approaches the same crossing. The police car stops at the crossing as the train moves past. Clovis shifts in his seat as the long train speeds in front of them. Inside her car, Lassie relaxes on the floor.
The longest freight train I've ever seen in my life.
Pretty long, all right.
Clovis looks over at the officer as they wait.
But how'd you put this all together?
A lady saw your youngster at a restaurant and called your home. Someone at your house called your local sheriff with your license number and a description of your car.
Turning away, Clovis nods and yields an impressed smile.
It's remarkable what you fellas can do once you set your minds to it.
The officer smiles. In Lassie's car, the open door offers a glimpse of the police car as the train rolls past. Lassie gives no sign of recognition.
Well, here's the end. Here's the end. All right, now let's not let any grass grow under our feet, shall we?
Right on, Mr. Mitchell.
Right on.
The police car continues across the tracks. Next to a road, another officer posts a reward poster onto a sign that reads, "Welcome to Portola." The cattle truck passes in the other direction. In the bed, Chris looks out at the passing landscape through the wooden fence slats. As the train winds around a mountain, Lassie looks out the open car door at a green wooded valley. Up ahead, the train approaches a tunnel through the mountain. As Chris looks out from the back of the cattle truck, it enters a tunnel. The bed goes dark as it passes through. In Lassie's train car, light floods in as the train emerges from the tunnel. The train moves across a bridge high over a gorge. It slows to a stop on the bridge. Lassie glances around, then slowly walks to the open door and eyes the ground. She hops down onto a narrow walkway along the track, then runs back to the start of the bridge. As Lassie runs to the base of a steep rocky slope, the train starts up again and moves along. Lassie carefully climbs the treacherous slope. Moving up the hill, she struggles to climb from rock to rock. Nearing the crest of the hill, she pauses a moment to look back at the valley behind her. Meanwhile, the police car passes with Clovis on a mountain road. Lassie makes her way up to the same road just as the car rounds a bend. She hops over the highway barrier and crosses to the other side. Now the cattle truck lurches to a stop. Chris loses his balance and falls down. The back panel slides open and cows file up a ramp toward the bed. Chris gapes as the massive animals block his way out. He backs up as they push in, looking around at the high enclosure. As the cattle crowd in, Chris squats at them with his bag.
Get away! Get back!
The confused animals start to turn back as more crowd in behind them. Chris looks around fearfully. Through the fence slats, he spots the police car speeding up into the yard and presses himself against the opening as he watches it drive up. It stops, and Clovis and the officer get out.
Grandpa!
As Clovis rushes over, the officer quickly climbs up the fencing and jumps down into the truck bed.
Sir, keep those animals back!
Clovis watches as the officer lifts Chris up at the fencing. The little boy climbs over, and the officer follows. Clovis catches Chris as he jumps down, and they hug.
Grandpa! Grandpa!
Chris looks down at his sack.
Do you like a sandwich?
Is that what you got in the bag?
I have one for both of us.
Chris hands him a sandwich, and Clovis pulls him close. Back in the wilderness, Lassie sniffs a pile of bones on the ground, then continues on through the desert brush. At the winery, Clovis greets Alan.
Is anybody home? She went to Santa Rosa with Chris to buy him a new jacket. I know you didn't come out here to pass time of day with me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I got news about Lassie.
Bad?
Not at all. See, I've never been satisfied with Jameson's claims. I did some checking with the Kennel Club. Through them, I got in touch with a man named Jack Sinclair in New York City. I phoned him the first of the week.
Who's he?
Lassie's owner.
He's what?
Or was. As of yesterday, at 12:30 New York time, you became the owner of Lassie. As that blue slip from the Kennel Club will tell you.
What a glass.
Clovis puts on glasses and sits to read the certificate. He turns to Alan.
Is this thing legal?
Absolutely. You're now the registered owner. See, after hearing the story, Sinclair wants you to have the dog. I called Jameson and asked him to come out here and talk to you about Lassie.
Why would you want to do a thing like that?
Well, I thought it might be important to you to confront him with the facts in front of Chris.
You think he'll come?
Oh, you bet he'll come. I held out the right bait.
What's the idea getting me here under false pretenses?
You know very well that that tattoo in her ear is one of Mr. Jameson's kennel numbers.
In the farmhouse.
Does the name Sinclair mean anything to you? Sinclair? I think maybe it does. He was your neighbor. His male was the sire. You gave him the pick of the litter. And the pup he chose was Lassie.
But you found Lassie by the road.
That's right, Mr. Finch. You see, Mr. Sinclair moved from this valley to New York City, and he gave the puppy to a family nearby.
Alan, he went over and checked with the family. They still live here. Seems one of their children got careless, and the puppy ran away.
Sinclair was still the registered owner, and he never sent the blue slip.
You want to know where that blue slip is now?
Standing by Kelly, Chris holds the certificate.
Mr. Jameson, this is an eye-opener to me. In my opinion...
Finch, when I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. All right. I'll withdraw the reward poster and call off the search completely. I doubt, however, that you'll ever see the dog again. The police of three states haven't found her.
Clovis glares at him, then lowers his worried gaze. On a sunny day, Lassie trots across a field and over a crowded bridge. She spots a banjo leaning against a parked van near a group of musicians rehearsing.
5, 6, 7, and 8, and a 1, and 2, and 3, and 4, and 5.
Lassie touches the banjo strings.
Oh, who hit that clotting picking clam?
Hey, look, right. We've got some company.
Oh, it's a dog.
We've got an audience. Hey, who's our new member?
What's the matter, sweetheart?
They walk over to Lassie.
Don't you like our song?
Oh, you like the banjo.
You're hungry, aren't you?
She sets out a plate of food from their picnic, and Lassie gobbles it up.
Come on, gang, we better get going. The act goes on at 8.
Yeah, you're right, it is late.
A tiny kitten sits inside the van. Lassie spots it and kindly licks its fur.
Come on, one final rehearsal. And this time, let's get it right. 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Ringle, jingle, ringle, jingle, ringle, jingle, ring.
Later, the group performs on a stage in front of a crowd.
Ringle, jingle, ringle, jingle, ringle, jingle, ring. I love a banjo song.
Lassie watches from the wings with the kitten.
That ringle, jingle drives me wild. Whenever things go wrong, a little banjo song. And mama, I'm a happy child. You see, that's just the kind of melody that I adore. And that's the kind of tune they just don't.
Oh, I love a banjo song.
musicians perform a choreographed dance. Lassie follows with her eyes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is the latest member of our group, Banjo.
A man spots a reward poster.
Sounds as if she enjoys the song as much as you do.
Take a look at that, will you?
In case you didn't recognize it, that was our latest release entitled Banjo Song.
On behalf of the entire congregation, we would like to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, that ain't your dog. I know that ain't your dog.
Just cool it, will you?
Cool it, my foot. There's a reward out for this dog, and I'm the one that's going to claim it right now. This is my money. I know whose dog that is. What's this all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. There's a $2,000 reward for that dog there, and I'm going to claim it right now. Lassie? Lassie?
Lassie and the kitten run behind the curtain.
You let me go!
The man stumbles, knocking a lantern against bales of hay. Flames shoot up as Lassie and the kitten head into a room. Outside, the performers and audience scramble as the fire spreads. As the curtains ignite, Lassie retreats back into the room and closes the door. She turns to the kitten, then runs over and picks it up by its scruff with her mouth. As people battle the flames outside, Lassie carries the kitten over to a crate and sets it down. She eyes a window set high in a nearby wall. Jumping up on the crate again, she nudges the window open and looks outside as the kitten looks up from the crate. As growing flames lick the ceiling nearby, Lassie picks up the kitten in her mouth again. She swings around and lifts the kitten to the window, then drops it outside. It lands on a soft pile of hay. As Lassie looks around, the ceiling collapses in flames. At the farmhouse, Alan holds potted flowers and candy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Why?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Come on, Alan. Make yourself useful in carrying the turkey.
That's marvelous.
As Clovis prepares a salad, Chris carries a platter to the counter. Kelly grins as she takes the flowers and candy. As Alan picks up the turkey platter, Chris sadly eyes Lassie's food bowl. Clovis pats him gently on the shoulder. They all head to the table and take their seats.
We'll have to make some room here for that turkey.
Kelly and Clovis anxiously eye the phone.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, sure.
Clovis. I hate to pass on bad news like this, especially today. But I just got a call from Sonoma. They had a bad fire at the park there last night, back of the stage. One of their officers is positive he saw Lassie there. She got mixed up in the fire. Part of the building collapsed. He didn't see her make it out. I'm sorry, Clovis.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and have a happy Thanksgiving. And please give our best regards to Mrs. Andrews.
I'll sure do that, Clovis.
Goodbye.
What happened, Grandpa?
Lassie's on her way home, isn't she?
Well, Sheriff Andrews, and he just wanted to let me know that the boys were still on the job. They think they know where Lassie was last night.
But they don't know where she is now.
That's about the size of it.
Kelly sadly drops her gaze.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm hungry. Now, come on, let's get at that turkey here. Wait, put it right in the center there. Sit down, Chris. That's a boy. A little wine over here.
All right, son.
Here we are.
Sitting, they all take hands and bow their heads.
Thank the Lord for the feast we share, for those we love, and for the friends who care. Thank the Lord for the sun up above, and for the vines and grapes that you touch with love. And thank the Lord for this day of rest. With all our gifts, we are truly blessed. But most of all, in our hearts, we pray you protect the one we love, who is far, far away. Amen.
Chris opens his eyes and looks outside.
Chris? What is it, Chris?
Chris gets up and runs to a window.
Blessing.
He runs out to the porch.
When you're out there on your own, trying to make it all alone, 'cause you seek the missing pieces of your life.
Lassie appears over a ridge and runs to Chris.
It's a rough and tumble journey on a road that never ends. It's a cold, cold world you're walking through, my friend. But when you're loved.
As the adults look on, Chris rushes to his dog.
You always walk in love's reflection. And when you're loved, when you're loved, somehow you find the right direction.
They meet in the grassy field. As Chris and Lassie play, Kelly and Alan exchange a tender look.
There's a time you start to doubt. You say, what's it all about? And you'd like to throw those fading dreams away.
Clovis beams as Lassie licks Chris's face.
'Cause the road keeps leading.
Titles appear, A Rose Is Not a Rose, sung by Pat Boone. When You're Loved, There'll Be Other Friday Nights, Brass Rings and Daydreams, sung by Debbie Boone. Nobody's Property, I Can't Say Goodbye, banjo song, sung by Mike Curb Congregation, choreography Martin Allen. Production manager Jack Sontag, assistant director Don Torpin, script supervisor Rose Steinberg-Wapner, camera operator Jesus Chuy Elizondo. Casting David Graham, set decorator Carl Bittescombe, property master Sal Somatino, assistant director Richard W. Darling Jr. Sound mixer Keith A. Wester, boom operator David Schneiderman, music editor coordinator Sid Sidney, costumer Ed Weinegier. Makeup, Robert N. Norin. Hairdresser, Joe McCarthy. Key grip, Tom Prophet Jr. Gaffer, Bill Tenney. Transportation, Bud Thompson. Assistant to the producers, Scotty Cummings. Secretary to the director, Susan Feldman. Auditor, Ghidra Rakowskis. Color by CFI. Titles and Opticals, Westheimer Company. Sound, Rider Sound Services. Re-recording, Goldwyn Studios. Sound effects, Burbank Editorial Service. Copyright 1978, Lassie Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved. The characters, events, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Filmed at Hopkiln Winery, Griffin Vineyard, Healdsburg, California. Our special thanks to Bob Cashel, Boomtown, Reno, Nevada. Gus, Mickey Rooney, Jameson, Purnell Roberts, Kelly, Stephanie Zimbalist, Chris, Michael Sherritt, Alice Fay, Sheriff Andrews, Gene Evans. More credits roll. James Stewart as Clovis Mitchell. Lassie is owned and trained by Rudd Weatherwax, assisted by Sam Williamson, Robert Weatherwax. This film is dedicated to the loving memory of Betty Weatherwax. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal. Voice by Ron Snow.